perhaps the question that we need to make ourselves is, which is the value of our work? I mean, if ChatGPT can do our work, what we need to do is to shift our value, because GPTs also have some limits around some very basic skills and competences. I mean, there are plenty of things that these machines are not able to do. So perhaps what we need to think is that we need to shift how we work, to shift the where the value is created, and of course, where the value is captured, and at the end, monetized.
Welcome to Sustainability Wired, the show that plugs into the thinking that moves sustainable finance. I'm Lorenzo Sa, the Chief Sustainability Officer at Clarity AI. I'm delighted today to welcome Alex Rayon, the Chief Executive Officer of Brain and Code. This is a company that really supports its clients to build AI and software solutions. And I met Alex at Oxford just a few weeks ago as he presented at a group of asset owners and investment managers on what are the great opportunities and what are the challenges that AI can bring for investors at large. And what I really liked at Alex's conversation was that it was a very dynamic conversation that, yes, started from the big pictures, but it really rooted itself into practical examples. And given that we've had a big conversation already with Neil Brown in episode 2 on the opportunities of AI, we thought we would deep dive with Alex on more of the trade-offs and the challenges that AI can bring. And so really, with that, I want to welcome Alex to the show and thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you so much, Lorenzo, for the this kind invitation. And of course, it's my pleasure to meet all of you and to share all these insights around these two big fields on sustainability and AI that I think need to be closer in the coming future.
Thanks, Alex. Well, maybe I'll actually kick off on that. What got you to AI? You know, give us a little bit more color of your background and what got you to AI. And also, how did you end up speaking to a bunch of sustainable investors? Do you have a connection with sustainability and what is that?
Okay. Well, first of all, speaking on what AI in my life is, speaking generally is where I have been working for all my professional life. I have a PhD on computer science. I did my PhD on neural networks 20 years ago. So speaking on AI is like a complete another era of what we have today, because on those days we had plenty of limitations to mimic human intelligence. And on those days I started to discover new scientific areas that were trying to cover new insights on how our brain develops ideas, how our brains discover new issues, how our brain imagines new things. And I ended up in what we have today with the GPTs, with the transformers, a new type of brain that is able to do more things. And from that point of view, with Brain and Code, we ended up working with plenty of companies, but mainly with two, three areas where sustainability is quite close always. And speaking broadly, even in the finance world, I think that the sustainability issue is quite in the heart of many of the things that they are doing. And since they do have plenty of data, the more data we have, the more accurate the results of AI are. So that's why I ended up working in areas where data, where sustainability is always there. And that's why I do not only work with this type of customers, but here, both in Spain and in Latin America, where we mainly work, there are plenty of companies that are trying to combine these new brains, the GPTs, with applications on sustainability.
Thanks. Well, that makes you an excellent candidate for today's show. And look, who usually listens to us are companies or investors that on the one hand are trying to implement sustainability in either their practices or in their investment processes or in ultimately their investment choices. But they're also increasingly looking at AI. And they're looking at AI to increase their efficiencies, to have better data. They're looking at AI to enhance their insights. But as they do this, they're increasingly getting a sense that there's a set of risks that they need to be on top of and they need to work to manage. So from where you sit, what are the business, organizational, and investors' risk that you see? And maybe which ones do you see most critical?
There is an obvious risk of being out of this game. So here, speed matters a lot, because there is a huge competitive advantage in all those companies that are investing and are, culturally speaking, inside those companies, giving the floor also to these agents based on AI. I mean, they are new colleagues in the office. We do have a new technology that can complement us, at least till now, not substitute us. And that's why I always speak on the enhanced human, not on the human that has a risk on having someone that is going to take his or her job. So the most important risk, speaking on the economical side of a company, is FOMO, fear of missing out, to be out of the game. But speaking broadly, and of course that the company is not only an economical agent, it's also a social agent, it's a cultural agent, we need to open our mind to new dimensions. And of course, there are plenty of societal risks for attracting talent. People want to work in places where AI is present. Societal engagement risks, because of course that today, at least, all the challenges that we are facing with energy consumption and many other things around are an individual responsibility, because if we use, let's say, ChatGPT for searching the capital city of Italy, we are, of course, incurring in a big consumption of energy that it doesn't really pay off, because we can find that answer also in Google, that for the same answer, it consumes much lower amount of energy. So we do have a risk also in the individual responsibility that we have inside our companies. We have some risks also on the intellectual property side, because of course that we are not having a big amount of conversations on the data that these machines are using. And again, here, all the companies are alone, at least till now, on exhibiting that responsibility. So as you see, Lorenzo, we cannot say that we only have one risk. We have plenty of multidimensional risks that we need to also bring into the responsibility that any company has in the society.
Yeah, listening to you, I feel that there's business risks, there's individual risks, and there's societal risks. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can start from the business side and keep going into the others. From the business side, my understanding is that you have a set of governance issues that go from things you mentioned, data security, cybersecurity, explainability, bias, etc. Of all these more business risks, which ones do you see is the most critical goal to address?
Of course, cybersecurity. Cybersecurity needs to be redefined, because we have had for many years a cybersecurity around the data issues, on the identity issues. But now, at least from my humble point of view, I think that we have also some new risks, speaking of cybersecurity. For example, deepfakes. That is, for me, one of the most challenging ones. What is reality? Is the question that I always make, trying to reflect on this. What I see is real or not? Apart from that, we also have some data cybersecurity issues. We are using some commercial products to take advantage of AI that not all them do fulfill properly all the security around data issues in general. So of course that we need to open it again. And finally, the intellectual property side from the cybersecurity point of view. If we employ data that has been stolen, we are incurring also in some cybersecurity issues, because who is going to tell us what data is where from the data is coming?
Data kind of ownership and ultimately ownership of what's going into these large language models, for example. I hear there's an argument out there around, look, I'm getting inspired. I'm not copying. Do you see how this distinction of what data privacy actually and copyright really means in a world of AI?
I do agree with that point of view, but unfortunately, I am not so sure that people is using it to get inspired. You and me are working on a new report on whatever it is. We can get inspired because both of us do have a responsibility on our work. We do know all the issues that we need to take into account to work. But this is not what I usually find. People trust a lot on the answers from ChatGPT, from Microsoft Copilot, from Perplexity. And sometimes they just deliver the outcome as what Perplexity or ChatGPT is giving. It's not getting really inspired. So I think that we have a society that is not mature enough to use these powerful tools that we have today.
Okay. And these issues for a business that's maybe applying, say, large language models, or for an investor that, you know, has a co-pilot, I can see the cybersecurity being something you need to have in your own house. But do they need to worry about copyright? Or is that something that just, it's an issue of, you know, OpenAI and other big players to figure out?
Well, that's a really good question. I do not have an answer because I do have some mixed feelings on it. Perhaps the answer is that all of them do have a shared responsibility.
Yeah.
The first one is the manufacturer of the tool, of course, does have a responsibility. But apart from that, I think that we also have an individual responsibility on getting informed of what we are using. So I do have mixed feelings whenever I receive that question, because I think that all of us do have a responsibility in these issues.
In terms of explainability and transparency of these models, you know, investors have that as a must in the way they operate. But in my view, by design, some of these models seem to not be able or cannot be transparent. Is that true? And if it is, can we keep using them, and how?
Is a calculator transparent? Is explainable? It's a question just to provoke a reflection. We are somehow forcing these machines to tell us how they work because it is because we do not really understand what they are doing. And somehow to trust on them, we need to get some explainability on what they are doing. I would say that, of course, for some tasks that are probabilistic, because the problem with these machines is that they are not deterministic as a calculator, they are probabilistic. If the nature of the calculation is probabilistic, I do agree that we need some explainability, because otherwise we are not able to fix the answers. But if we are having some deterministic answers, if we are not asking a calculator to explain us what they are doing, the same for these machines.
Okay. But I'm still trying to maybe look at this from, you know, some of these investors need to report to a regulator. And the regulator would say, you made this decision. You made this investment decision, or you chose this data point, right? If these machines work like they work, and we're not able to show exactly how certain things have come out because of what you said, is there a solution or a way that allows us still to use it and to respond to those questions so that there is, I mean, I think you mentioned a word before, very important, there is trust.
Yeah, it's a matter of trust, I would say. But I understand the regulator point of view. Lorenzo, my point here is that we are at the beginning of a new era, and that's why I understand all these new tasks that we need to do to explain how they work, to explain the data that they are using, because it's a matter of trust. We do not trust on them because we think that they are magic. So I understand the situation because we are at the beginning of a new, very powerful machines. But I think it's a matter of time to start getting used to live with them without asking that those amount of transparent issues.
So we talked about some of these governance issues. You mentioned the environmental impact and how, you know, these models are using quite a lot of energy, and that the prediction, you know, I read a report from Goldman Sachs that talks about, you know, from 2023 to 2030, 168% growth in energy demand just because of the data center needs. From that perspective, what can businesses, investors, and those that run these models do to address the environmental impact?
Is first of all to make business plans, because of course that the amount, the production costs that these manufacturers do have are not at the end reflected in the price. So of course that the need of energy is not going to get down in the short term. The inference cost, the inference is the direct cost of training these machines, is going down. So it is expected in a span of 5 to 8 years to have a lower cost. But today, I imagine that this is that the reason is a go-to-market strategy. The price we are paying for these machines is not the real production cost. So they are losing money. So this is a go-to-market strategy. So the first answer would be to make a business plan with another price, because if we make an investment on these tools to transform our company, as many companies are doing, the problem is that whenever the price starts to go up, they are going to have a problem, because it's not going to be sustainable to maintain them. This idea, speaking on the business side, also can be explained from the societal and energy side, because the same happens there. We do have a society around an electricity consumption model that is not aligned to what we are going to need only for AI. So of course that many things need to be changed, and not linearly, because we are not speaking on a linear trend. We are speaking on an exponential behavior. The more data we need, the cost more or less multiplies by 2 times. So we are speaking on an exponential behavior of all these energy issues.
That's really interesting. So what you're arguing is that if we make cost assumptions of the use of AI based on its current cost, we're not taking into account that these firms are offering it to us to get into the market, but it's not the real cost that we're going to face tomorrow.
Yeah, that's important.
Yes, that seems a critical lesson. Now, what I've heard on the environmental side is also that the design of the model, which might be linked to the cost, but the designs of the model can be thought differently to design them with less need of compute, and also less in a better way to manage water. Given your background, do you think that is one of the ways to address this environmental risk?
Yes, it is quite close to what I said before on the inference cost. The inference is all these issues around the new science that is arriving. Being short, I would say that there are two main technological developments at this moment. One of it is scientific. Whenever we send a prompt today, being very basic, but we compute all the data. So the first paradigm is around computing only the relevant data for the question of the user. So I think that these new paradigms are going to change a lot how we compute data. And the second one is we are computing data that is not really worthwhile for the world in general, because over the internet, there are plenty of junk, spam, and since they have prioritized the go-to-market strategy, they have created a product that is computing everything. It's not really cleaning the data. And here appears a new type of companies that in the United States are going so fast in market cap, that are the data labelers, companies that say which data is relevant for the world. So here, I think, Lorenzo, that also appears the concept of responsibility for any company that is launching these products to the market. Because the responsibility that these companies such as OpenAI has in the energy side is very, very relevant, because they are using plenty of data that really doesn't make any sense to compute.
So for companies like Google and Microsoft that have increased their emissions by 30 to 50% in the last year or two, mm-hmm. Part of the job is the design of the models.
Absolutely.
Good. Look, maybe shifting to social aspects. You mentioned a bit the impacts on the individuals, and there's quite a lot of elements that we could look at. And I'll start from bias. Do you see that we can address societal bias through AI? So actually reduce it, or do you see that AI is going to increase it and make it worse?
There is a book, I never remember the author, sorry, but the title is Raw Data is an Oxymoron. In that book, the author explains very well what you are asking me to answer. It's impossible to fight the biases because the problem is not around AI, it's on the data. Who is generating data? Who has economical interest on data? Those who generate the data are the responsibles of the biases that we have at the end analyzing that data. Can AI fix the original problem? Well, we can balance the inference. I mean, whenever we send the prompt to balance the different point of views. But again, we are at the end of the value of the value chain, we are ending up on an individual person that is having the responsibility to fight against the bias that is at the very beginning of this value chain. So I would go backward to the original problem. And the original problem is who is generating data? Who is fighting the balance of that data? So can AI fix some problems? Of course. But I would add a new argument. I think that we need to change the focus to the origins, the data.
So the part of working on a clean and appropriate data set is how do you actually address bias?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And a balanced data set. Yeah. If we are 8,000 million people on the world and we ask questions to, for example, data on the societal values, the answer is not going to be a worldwide point of view. Is going to give from who is generating that data. That is mainly the West and some part of that West side of the world. For example, in languages and culture, it's quite common this answer because, of course, that English-speaking countries do generate much more data than the other countries. So that's why GPTs answer better in English rather than in, let's say, Portuguese, just to mention an example.
So I would imagine that DeepSeek will have different cultural values than...
Absolutely.
ChatGPT.
Yeah, that's a really important point of view because most of the consumed technologies are North American. And of course that, from my very respectful point of view, but they do have values that not always are literally transferable to another country. And same happens with DeepSeek. I do not have any customer here, at least in Spain, that has... requested the implementation of DeepSeek, but the conversation is around the values and who is behind the model, not on the real value of that model.
Maybe picking on that, we're starting to really go beyond just the role of AI in business, but really what it has in society. What I'm interested is a little bit more around the role of AI as an support. You know, you mentioned earlier that for now it's about augmenting, but it could come to a point of substituting. Would it be beneficial that it starts substituting a lot of what we do? Because there's this concept of, you know, cognitive offloading, and that this cognitive offloading basically reduces our critical thinking. Are we at risk to become dumber and dumber as we use AI?
Today, on that risk, of course. But perhaps the question that we need to make ourselves is, which is the value of our work? I mean, if ChatGPT can do our work, what we need to do is to shift our value. Because GPTs also have some limits around some very basic skills and competences in our jobs, such as abstract thinking, complex thinking, human thinking, empathy, consciousness. I mean, there are plenty of things that these machines are not able to do. So perhaps what we need to think is that we need to shift how we work, to shift where the value is created, and of course, where the value is captured, and at the end, monetized. So I need to redefine many things. I do agree with that. The problem is the speed and the time that we have, that is quite short. And of course, in the meantime, we are going to have some cognitive challenges, because today still has a big value to read things, to analyze them, and to make a report. Three things that the other day when we met, Lorenzo, you check it, that a GPT does in, literally speaking, in 10 seconds. So does it make sense to do that, at least economically speaking? Because I am not speaking on the personal habits that any may have on reading literature. That's another thing. But speaking economically, we need to redefine our value and to think in the near term where we will be.
What I'm hearing from you is we can augment our work by leaving some of the more menial or more junior tasks to ChatGPT. One of the risks that have been brought up is that by doing that, you end up not training the new generations, because usually the new generations are learning by doing the menial tasks. So what's the future of the work scenario for these people? How do we bring this new generation forward? Or do we end up having us benefiting from them and then having a huge gap?
Well, again, that's a really good reflection, I would say, rather than a question. I do not have an answer, because, again, I think that it's a matter of time to find an answer. We need to change, again, some of the main paradigms that we have had in the last decades. One of them, perhaps, is the one that you are mentioning. Young people were supposed to learn doing things with elder people or more experienced people, let's say. Perhaps we need to change that focus and start hiring them due to their abstract thinking value, to their human values. But if we go also even back in the timeline, for being able to do that, universities need to change also how they train people. Because the engagement on this societal paradigm change starts also at the universities and also at high school. I mean, this is a chain, a timeline change, I think, that we are going to see in the coming years. There are some countries already working on them, but it's a matter of time to see how everything will get, again, balanced and, let me call it, stable.
Okay, so education and employment will need to change in ways we don't know, in a way. One last thought on this societal piece is, you know, a lot of these models need to be built on big data. And, you know, China has the possibility to do this based on a state control system. The Western countries are doing it in a different model. But there is an element of concentration of power. In the US, the big bros, tech bros, are kind of being seen as societally unequal. As an investor, if you're investing in this field, either in the big models or those that are using it, is there a risk from this model, and how do you solve it?
There is a big risk right now. There are plenty of pieces in the AI field of a big concentration of few players. For example, foundational models, for example, foundries where the chips are manufactured, for example, on the commercial tools that we receive, Microsoft ChatGPT, for example, on the data generators. You know that I am not an expert on investment, but speaking on the value that is today generated on AI, we are speaking on a highly concentrated field that, of course, the competency authorities are starting to realize, as always, late on the problem. I understand that the time is quite challenging on these days. But if I were an institutional investor, I would pay a big attention to where I invest, because the risk of having problems with concentration issues is very, 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 very high.
You mentioned regulation. Which regulatory setup existing today do you think best matches the need?
Speaking socially or societally, the European Union. Speaking from the business side, the United States of America. And there appears one of my main obsessions, as you know, that are the two blocks that do have a different way of understanding the world. I am not saying which is the best one. I am just saying that they are having two different ways of seeing the world. And at the same time, we are exporting technology from one to another. So it's quite easy to understand that they are going to intersect somewhere.
So if you didn't have any roots in Spain, and you had to choose where to live and set up your AI business, given what you just said, where would you go?
This is a question that reflects my values. And since my values are European, I would stay in Europe. But if I need to answer, speaking from my investors, I would say the United States, because I do have an investor in my company. So the point is that today is very, let's say, it's quite easy to create a technological solution in the US and to export it to Europe. Because speaking on all the issues yep. around the arancels and so on this sector, they do not really make sense, because it's quite easy to deploy a technological solution. But if I were, and that's what I am, indeed, an engaged citizen that likes to do things where I think that I find my values reflected, I would stay in Europe.
Great, thank you. Look, we've talked about mostly about AI as it is today, but as we move forward, and I don't know if this is in 5 years, 10 years, or ever, there's this big discussion around AGI or ASI. And maybe you can explain what these are, but also tell us, do you think we're going to get there? And if you mm-hmm. do think we're going to get there, what is the world going to look like?
Well, I am going to start from the end. I think that that's an invention of some technological companies. We are quite far from general artificial intelligence, as its name says, is a very old idea of having a new, let's say, a new identity in our world that is able to do things as we, the humans. That means to imagine things from scratch. That means to find new scientific discoveries. That means to do everything as humans, even better indeed, because the idea is to surpass the human capabilities. As I mentioned the other day, Lorenzo, and as I mention always, we do have some human capabilities that have already been surpassed, such as reading, image recognition, language understanding, but that doesn't mean that we are even close to being completely substituted. I usually explain this idea with one of the most distinguishable capability of humans, that is the consciousness. I usually ask to the audience to define what consciousness is. I usually receive between 15 and 30 different answers. I mean, of course, that this is just a metaphor to say that we do not really understand what consciousness is. So can anyone explain to me how can we explain to a machine to exhibit this highly heterogeneous point of view of what consciousness is? I mean, we still do not understand how the human brain works. So, of course, that I think that we are very, very far from even having something close to mimicking our human intelligence. But at the same time, we do have big technological companies that do have big stakes at this technology. So, of course, that I understand that this is a PR discourse. This is a PR project. They need to imagine that we have an end, that we need to get all of us as far as we can to this era, because otherwise we will get out of this party sooner or later.
Okay. So this party assumes that the use of AI against the risk has a positive net impact. Do you believe it has a positive net impact?
I do believe that it has a positive net impact if we assume that they complement us And if we, the owners of companies, also take care on what we do with them. I mean, if we start that American term that says the AI slope, if we start all of us doing the same content with the same technology, if we lose the human value of the creation, we are going to start introducing in the society a loop that is quite challenging to get out of it. I think that it has a positive impact, and we are fortunately at the beginning of it, but we still need to get all the stakeholders informed and trained on the limits of these technologies, because otherwise we are going to start substituting things that, of course, that the machines are not able to do as we, the humans.
And do you think we're on the right path?
I am worried, because the debates are not really deep. By the way, congratulations for this conversation, because I am really enjoying it, because it's a deep conversation. We are going to the roots of the things. We are not speaking only on the economical impact of these technologies, that of course that it, we understand them. But I am worried, because at least in the countries where I work, the conversations are mainly around productivity and the economical impact.
All right. Well, look, we'll certainly try to expand your voice and what you've raised today, because I think that's part of what I think we need to do as a responsible society to bring responsible AI forward. Look, maybe as we're heading towards the end of the conversation, we have at each episode the possibility to ask the guest if there's some sort of piece of art that you've identified, either linked to sustainability or to AI and the conversation we had today, that you'd like to share with guests.
The Bulls of Pablo Picasso. That is a painting that somehow mimics the idea of simplicity. I think that we have a mind that sometimes tries to find very complex solutions to problems that are easy to have a solution. And perhaps in my field, in technology, that's very, very common. We are all the time trying to be better, to get a much more complex solution. And I love simplicity, because sometimes simplicity brings a good solution.
So maybe I'll challenge you. What's our simplistic message today?
To inform better on how these technologies work, we need to engage as responsible citizens on its usage due to the energy challenges that I have mentioned before. We are very far from AGI, and we do have a big concentration in some economical actors.
Amazing. Thank you. Let's move to our quick fire questions. These are short questions where I'll ask you to quickly respond briefly. So the first one, most appreciated AI benefit?
To focus our time and attention on creativity and thinking.
And what's the mostly overhyped AI risk?
AGI. Okay. I mean, to have another matter upon us.
And what's one of the most boring tasks you hand over to AI?
Writing summaries.
AI risks in a film title.
The Matrix, I would say.
And do you feel it's harder to have sustainable AI or explainable AI?
Sustainable AI.
Biggest AI risk in one word?
Biases.
I really have enjoyed this. I kind of think, as I was listening to this, it reminds me of this analogy of the fact that humanity discovered fire, and when it discovered fire, you know, you started being warmer, you knew how to cook, you protected yourself against enemies. But we also got burned, cities, forests, and everything. And so I think one of the things that was important as a society is we brought in firefighters, fire breaks, alarm systems that actually protected us. And I think what you brought up today is really that. And maybe as a chief firefighter for us all, thank you for having shared that information. We really appreciate it. And to be honest, I also really appreciated what you shared in Oxford a few weeks ago. So thank you very much.
Thank you to you. It's been my pleasure. And of course, always very, very open to have these deep conversations on really relevant issues.
Great. Thanks again, Alex. And really, thank you also for everybody else that have collaborated in the show, for Curtis File and for Ben and John at Earworm. And look, if you enjoyed this episode, please like, subscribe, or comment below. And we hope to see you on the next episode. And until then, stay wired.